For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
Okay, hope everybody had a great Easter. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Good to have you here. Good to be along with you. I had a great weekend. Had some, we don't normally host. I go a lot of times to my two family's house, but this time my mom, my stepdad came to our house. It was just us, just the five of us. And I had a nice dinner and spent some time. My mom, my stepdad, we Skyped in, or Skype, I say Skype, used to be Skype, FaceTimed, I think, whatever app we're using these days to say hi to my brother out in Oregon, so that was cool. Got a chance to do that, a little relaxing, went for a couple nice long walks over the weekend as well, because the weather was kind of like, it's kind of breaking, but it's a little chilly, you know, and today's a little rainy, getting a little warmer, and we're going to start to feel a little more spring-like, which is really nice, and when that happens, to me, I think about, you know, yes, this time of year, the NFL draft, and it's kind of getting there. Think about NHL playoffs a lot of times and how it's been so long and going down to the arena back in the day or watching the NHL playoffs at this kind of weather when it's just starting to break. Yeah. But not for the Sabres. They had their end of season press conferences also over the weekend. So that was something that I did, kind of tuned into that, dialed into that. And Paul Hamilton was there. He's going to join us today at 10:30 a.m. So Paul Hamilton on what we heard from Sabres locker cleanout, but specifically, more specifically, Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff over the weekend. A report from Elliot Friedman is 32 thoughts saying that Kevin Adams could have a new title, be transitioning. We don't know. Adams himself said he hasn't met with Terry Pegula. We do know that, according to him, Adams, that is, and Lindy Ruff, that Lindy Ruff will be back as head coach. But we'll get with Paul Hamilton at 10:30 a.m. At 11 a.m., Fran Duffy is going to join me. I think I had Fran on years ago. He used to work for and be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles and, you know, their digital team and on their website side, content side, but huge draft guy. And he's been doing the draft and following the draft for a long time. I think he's one of the best in the business. And we've kind of gone back and forth over the years. I've helped him out with, you know, when he does some of his mock drafts and, hey, the Bills, you know, what do you think about them? And he puts together an article and things like that. So I reached out to him and said, can you come on the Extra Point Show with me? And he's going to join me today. Fran Duffy, F. Duffy NFL, going to join me coming up at 11 a.m. because we are 4 days away from the NFL draft. 4 days. It's kind of the last stance here to make a stand. Last time to make a stand on what you think the Bills will do, what you want them to do. It's so tough at 30th overall, right? I mean, you just don't know how the board's going to fall. But we'll pick Fran's brain on what players could fit the Bills at 30, specifically at defensive tackle, cornerback, edge rusher, wide receiver. I think that's kind of where, but to me, defensive tackle, cornerback are the most likely scenarios here. So we'll do that at 11. Josh Schmidt's back. I had Evan producing for a couple of days. Welcome back, Josh. You were off for a little while. How did your time off and your Easter go?
Thanks, Hal. Yeah, I took a few days off for my birthday and just kind of some rest and relaxation, and it was pretty good. I kind of disconnected for a little bit. The only news I really saw was the Trey White signing and obviously the Sabres locker cleanout stuff, and that was pretty much it. I was very, very disconnected for those few days.
You went off the grid.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I stayed connected with some friends and family, but for the most part, I stayed off my phone and I was just kind of hanging out, mostly because my girlfriend got me a Captain America shield that was the Lego set. So it's like 3,000 Legos.
Yes, I love it.
And I built it in a total of 2 days, probably in like a, I guess, maybe like a six hour time span, I guess, if you put it together over the 2 days. And it's a big 18.5 by 18.5 circle that's now hanging on my wall. So that kind of preoccupied me for a little while. But yeah, it was a good time off and a good Easter and all that stuff. So I'm glad the weather's finally starting to turn too. I mean, rain is not great, but it's better than cold rain. So at least it's warm.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm glad you were able to do that. You know, going off the grid for a little while, just kind of recharging. I try to do that every once in a while. It's hard for me. It's very hard. Just my personality and what I do. And I got to be connected. Even when we go on vacations for a while, like I tell my wife, I'm like, yeah, I can't go for like more than a week somewhere if I'm going to be away from things going on. If I'm in a way different time zone, like even West Coast, obviously like Australia, we went there a year plus ago. And I have to kind of be connected. We go on cruises. I need to have the internet. It's just, I don't know. I feel I can't relax unless I have that. I get far less relaxed if I'm not able to be connected, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I have to know what's going on or else I get anxiety of what's going on.
Right. You get like that FOMO almost, like the fear of missing out on something. Like, didn't something big happen when you were in Australia? I can't remember what it was.
Stephon Diggs got traded.
Yes, that's what it was. Because I remember like we were all like, Sal doesn't even know about this. He's asleep right now because it's like 2 a.m. in Australia. Like, it's
yeah,
it's just
woke
the crazy
me up when
stuff.
It happened. Hey, she got up in the morning. She's like, the Bills traded Stephon Diggs overnight. So that happened. Yeah, last year. You know what else I did this weekend? I got fitted for a driver.
Oh, golf driver. New driver this year?
I'm going to have a new driver. And I have not played golf at all. I'm talking indoor, outdoor, simulators, driving ranges, nothing since last year.
Wow.
Like, I haven't. And it probably wasn't the smartest idea to go get fitted when you haven't swung at all this year. Right? Even I walked in and the guy's like, yeah, you probably should have gone to the range a few times because the swing you have your first time out here with me on the simulator is going to be different than it is like in a month from now or 2 months from now when you're playing golf. I said, I know, but I'm not on the PGA Tour, right? So I just need something that kind of fits me better. I've had a couple older drivers. I've never been about the equipment in golf, and maybe I should be because equipment matters. I did get fitted for irons years ago, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago now. And I really like my irons, but I've always had older drivers. I've never wanted to spend too much money on a driver because I'm like, yeah, I'm not like a great golfer. I'm okay. I like to go out. You know, I'm about 14, 15 handicap. I try to break 90 when I play. I can have some really nice rounds or really terrible rounds, like a lot of people. But this year I said, all right, you know, I just want to get a little bit better because I have this fade that I've always played and it takes away so much distance from me. So one thing I found out though is I went on the simulator and the guy was watching me and he goes, all right, even though you haven't hit, you're very consistent on how you are hitting. So I can figure out, I can tell you exactly right now what you need. And he knew right away. I had to have a lower loft. So normally I hit like, I have one driver that's a 10.5 and one that's a 9.5. And he's like, yeah, you need a 9. And I'm not kidding you when I say this, Josh, the difference between the lofts I was hitting at the simulator were a good 20 to 25 yards carrying on my drive.
Wow.
Because of the loft.
That's always fun to see.
So I'm like, oh my God, that's great. Because now like I'm getting tired of hitting. I'm not a super long hitter, but because I fade it, that's part of the reason why I'm not a super long hitter. But even with my fade a little bit, it was longer, less fade, I guess, because of how it was going. But there's a big difference between, oh my God, I got to hit a 5-iron versus a 7-iron on your second shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Like, I've always wondered too. I've never really messed around with that sort of stuff, but I always have hit the ball very well on my drives, fortunately. Mm-hmm. And I've always wondered, you know, if I get a new driver or a different driver, will it, you know, affect that? Because the one I have is kind mm-hmm. of a hand-me-down from one of my buddies, and it's pretty old. It's like an older TaylorMade driver, and it's great. I love it. But I always wondered, can I hit the ball farther with a newer one or a different style driver and all that? But I've never really looked into it. But you're absolutely right sometimes about the equipment. It does make a difference yeah. in certain cases. Like, I got new irons this year, and it is so much different than the ones I used to have. Like, mm-hmm. it is making a huge difference for me so far. I've gone out and played one round outside. Didn't shoot very well score-wise, but I felt great. So that's all that matters, I guess. But, you know, working out of the rust and everything like that. But I just, you know, it's one of those things where once you play that first round of the year, you want to go right back out and play another one. It's
I haven't played awesome. Yet, and the driver won't be. It's the driver, they had to order it. They didn't have it in stock. But he's like, oh. I know exactly what you need. Click, 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 click. Okay, we have this. You know what I mean? You're going to get it. So it should be about a week or so, but that's all right. I got the draft this week. It's not like I'm going out and playing golf a ton right now, and, you know, it's a little wet. So that's fine. I'll wait on it, but I can't wait now to go out and try it and say, how much does this help my game, if at all? Who knows? You know, I always say, I tell my son this, because Max is all into the baseball equipment, and, Dad, I need this bat or that bat. I'm like, it's not the bat. It's the kid swinging the bat, right, that matters, right?
Right.
And I always,
yep.
It's the same thing for me. That's why I've never really thought too much about getting a new driver and spending a lot of money, because I'm like, it's not the driver. It's me. I got to get better. You know, that's what it is. But I do think this will help. So that'll be fun to be able to do that. I can't wait for that to happen. The Bills have just posted Josh Allen walking into offseason workouts and their first day. The freshly minted $330 million man is at One Bills Drive with the rest of many of his teammates. Who knows about the rest? It is offseason workout date number one for the Buffalo Bills. 85 days, Josh, since the Bills last played, and they are back together today. 85 days.
Does it feel
I did
that
the math.
Long? I don't know if
yeah,
it feels
listen,
that
80,
long.
The, listen to this. I did this math. It's been 85 days since the AFC Championship game. And if we think camp is going to start on, let's say, July 25th, it'll be 95 days from now until then. We're almost at the exact midway point of the last game they played, AFC Championship, and the start of camp.
That's actually a good way to look at it, because this past yeah. couple months has kind of flown by, but I don't know if that's maybe just because of free agency and stuff. But, like, I'm always the one where as soon as, you know, the big part of free agency dies down, like, yeah, I'm excited for the draft, but I'm like, let's just get to the training camp. I just want to see whoever they draft in training camp. Like, let's just get there. That's how I am in the offseason. But it's like, if this is how fast the rest of it's going to go, then I'm more than happy with that. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, so 85 days since they were last on the field, they begin their offseason workout program. Interestingly enough, it is a 9-week program. So when, excuse me, according to the collective bargaining agreement, all teams have 9 weeks to get their entire program in, and there's three phases. In each phase, this is phase one, you know, you can't do any football, real football stuff. It's mostly conditioning. Phase two, you do a little bit more football stuff. Phase three is when you can get into more like OTAs and you have a mini camp at the end. Anyway, throughout those three phases, there's certain rules and restrictions, how many weeks each one goes, and you get 9 total weeks. The Bills have always used up all 9 weeks. This year, they're only using 8. They go from today through June 12th. If you look at a calendar and count, starting today, go week 1, 2, 3, all the way through. If you go through June 12th, that's 8 weeks. This is a change from the Bills. It's not a huge deal, but there's one less OTA week than normal, I noticed, looking through their schedule. So that's today. Now, tomorrow, we will hear from Josh Allen, the aforementioned Buffalo Bills quarterback and league MVP, reigning league MVP. We'll hear from him. And we'll hear from Brandon Bean. And, of course, Josh about workouts, and we'll ask him about the draft a little bit because he follows the draft. But Brandon Bean on the draft. We'll get with Brandon Bean tomorrow down at One Bills Drive. We'll have Zach and Derek are going to be in tomorrow hosting this show. I'll be down at One Bills Drive. So we got you covered from there. And we're going to, you know, talk to Josh, talk to Brandon Bean. Maybe who knows if any other players will be available. But Josh is the only one we know of for sure. We will not be able to watch the strength and conditioning, OTA, or whatever, workout, I guess you'd say, phase one here, the media. But we'll get some video from the Bills. They'll post some stuff. And I guess one of the big questions will be, is James Cook here? as I sit here now, I wouldn't expect it, right? Considering what he's posted and where this has gone, and maybe that, you know, a lot of times guys just don't show up in those situations. It is voluntary, so don't worry about that. You know, if you're a, he's not going to be fine. There's no discipline, but we know how these things go. And look, the Bills have 67 guys on their roster right now. Not all 67 are going to be here this week. Typically, you get several guys who aren't here for whatever reason. They could be just taking extra time. They could be on vacation, going to a wedding, have kids' birthday parties, or just say, I work out on my own. I'm not going to be at the facility, whatever. You know, there's a lot of reasons, but there will be also guys there, and we'll hear from Josh Allen tomorrow. So that'll happen tomorrow. Josh Allen and Brandon Bean, for sure, to the media. On Wednesday this week, Josh, I'm going to be down at Salem Field doing the show on Wednesday this week because it is the Micah Hyde press conference for his annual softball game. So I'll be down at Salem Field, and I'll hook up with you from down there, and we'll be doing the Extra Point show from down there from the Bison Stadium. It'll be Micah Hyde's charity softball game. We'll find out what players could be involved. It's usually the whole roster, if not close to it. Josh Allen's usually there. Pretty much every year, there's a home run contest. I am the on-field MC. It's a great time. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk with Micah before he hits the mic for the actual, you know, press conference. So we'll do that. We'll get with Anthony Sprague, the Bison's GM. Thursday, of course, day one of the NFL draft. And we have a lot of different ways that, you know, we can look at how this is going to go. It's a very interesting draft from the standpoint to me that it's not this, like, really super high-quality draft. From a lot of analysis, meaning like a lot of first round grades and first round talent. There are some, but fewer than normal. And then maybe the meat of the draft is in the middle, at the end, maybe even more so than the middle, where Adam Schefter even wrote today, really good stuff at Adam Schefter, by the way, ESPN.com. And he wrote a really lengthy article on all different things he's hearing and notes and stuff like that. And one of the things he said was the UDFA class, undrafted free agent class, could be a lot better than normal because you're getting COVID years where guys stayed longer and, you know, just going to be more talent kind of in it, available. And that's going to be interesting. The Bills have 10 picks. You can go to our website, WGR550.com. You can track all the Bills picks and see about their entire offseason transaction list, coaches in and out, home and away opponents, everything. It's our offseason and draft tracker. It's at WGR550.com. So, before we get to Paul at the bottom of the hour, I want to talk with Paul about what happened with Kevin Adams and what he said and Lindy Ruff and locker cleanout with some of the guys. Josh, did you see yesterday what happened in the Yankees game, in the baseball game?
No.
The two different crazy calls kind of?
Well, I did see the Aaron Judge home run, and that, okay. That one was egregious, but what are you going to do, I guess, in sports reviews nowadays? You know, it's, sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong, and it's kind of getting crazy.
But how do you review that and still get it wrong? Was it
right,
not?
Right.
Are we just looking at a bad? I'm seriously asking this. Yes, I'm a Yankee fan, and yes, I'm mad that Aaron Judge got robbed of a home run. But I do ask myself, am I just seeing a bad angle? Did they not have a good angle? Is that why? Because I have no other explanation of how that is not a home run. I mean, clearly from every angle we looked at, it looked like it was 10 feet inside the foul pole.
And there can't be another angle that they're looking at that we don't have access to, right? Like, there's not another camera that's specifically for reviews. Because, like, think about, like, when they do it in hockey. It's always that camera down the blue line for when they're checking for offsides, and everyone gets to see that. So it's like, I feel like everything we're seeing is what the umpires are seeing, and it's just another, you know, example of, like, the MLB just getting something wrong. Like, I couldn't get that one at all.
Well, even Judge said it was a home run, but he made the right point, which is in these minor league parks, which is where they're playing right now in Tampa, because the Rays, remember, Tropicana Field was damaged by the hurricane last year, so the Rays are playing all their games at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, where the Yankee spring training home is. And at these minor league stadiums, these spring training stadiums, the foul pole is not as high. Remember when college football used to have shorter goalposts, and then they actually lengthened them? There's actually a movement, and I agree with this, Josh. I think NFL goalposts should be raised because we're getting too many of these field goals and extra points are going right over and people debate. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where you say, like, did that actually go over? And there's a thought that you should raise the goalposts or put some sort of laser on them, which maybe you should have done in this case.
Right, because now you're getting kickers that can kick the ball higher and farther, so
yes.
It's going to make the – you got to – you know, bring the field goal post up with the ability of your kickers. And like, it's the same thing right. with this, but I feel like this is such a specific instance just because it's that, like you said, it's the minor league ballpark. They've got smaller foul poles anyway. And it's, you know, that one's, I feel like it's just a luck of the draw accident, I guess, that the foul pole isn't tall enough. But like you were saying,
they still reviewed it.
Right. Right. The review should have gotten that it was a home run. That's what I think about it. Like that's the thing, is it doesn't matter that it was too short. It just matters the fact that they got it wrong in the review, where it shows that it clearly right. was the on the fair side of the foul pole.
Okay, so that's one instance. So I'm already hot about that. I'm watching the Yanks. They'd really blown it on Saturday night. It was terrible. They go to the ninth up 8-4 and they lose 10-8. And it's like, I couldn't believe they blew it. So I was already like, come on, you got to win this game. And the Judge gets robbed of the home run. You're already hot about it. And then this happens. Okay, if you haven't seen this, this is crazy. So this is just a baseball and sports point. All right, yes, I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm bringing this to everybody out there who's just a sports fan and a baseball fan. So Max Fried, he's a pitcher for the Yankees. And he has a no-hitter going on. And they're in the seventh inning, no-hitter. Now, in the sixth inning, there was a play where the ball was hit to first baseman Paul Goldschmidt. And Goldschmidt boots the ball. He moves to his right, but he boots the ball. As he boots the ball, he picks it back up, and he tries to pick it back up, I should say. And there was the runner was running to first base, and he was fast. The runner was speedy. Fried's trying to beat him there. They call it an error in the sixth inning. It preserves the no-hitter. Now, remember, you're in Tampa now. You're not in New York. You're in Tampa. They call it an error. You're like, okay, well, it could have gone either way. It's a judgment call. Definitely an argument to say he would have beat it out. They could have called it a hit. If they would have called it a hit, fine. You call it a hit, no-hitter is over. But they call it an error at the time. They go through the sixth inning. Free gets out of it. No hits. They go to the seventh inning. Fried gets out of it. No hits. Fried goes to the eighth inning with a no-hitter. They go to commercial break, okay? I'm watching the game on Yes, and you see 0-0-0 down in the bottom ledger for the Rays. No runs, no hits, no errors. They come back from commercial break, and here's what happened. I want you to listen to Michael Kay, because this is what everybody heard at the exact same time, including me, and my jaws just dropped. This is Michael Kay coming back from commercial break after Max Fried had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning.
You see the line, and no, you didn't miss a batter. I am absolutely flabbergasted, ladies and gentlemen. The official scorer here at Steinbrenner Field, a man by the name of Bill Matthews, has changed the Simpson E3 into a hit while the Yankees are in the dugout. Just unfathomable. Either you call it when it happens, you don't wait three innings to go by. It's just unbelievable. And there is Bill Matthews, and he's going to have a lot of questions thrown at him, and he's going to have to give some pretty good answers, because I can't believe that this just happened.
There's a lot going on here, okay? First of all, I want you to know that, if you didn't know this, Aaron Boone had been ejected already, because after Judge had his ball called foul, the next pitch or two pitches later, whatever, he strikes out on a questionable call. I think it was a strike, but either way, Boone goes nuts. He gets tossed. So now Boone can't even like do anything about this particular case. Not that he would. I don't know if he'd run out and yell at the official score or whatever. He's up in the press box. But anyway, he's already, you know, gone. So they're talking about the Yankees in the dugout are learning, oh my God, the no-hitter's gone. The official score in Tampa went back two innings and changed a ball from an error to a hit. Now, yes, I totally understand, everybody. These things happen all the time in baseball. I've watched baseball long enough to know changes always happen in official scoring. Yes. But this is a judgment call that the home team scorer went back and reversed a no-hitter two innings later. That does not happen. That is unique. You could tell me and you can argue all you want, but it was really a hit, Sal. That's fine. I'm not even going to debate that. It could have been. I get it. I tweeted last night, it's an error, and that was more in the heat of the moment. It could have been a hit. Whatever. I'll even say, fine, you want to call it a hit? I can give you that. You can't go back two innings later, three innings later, whatever, and reverse it. I know that sometimes those things happen. They don't happen on no hitters at home with the home team scorer. Now, the next guy did get a hit. But who knows the butterfly effect? Josh, I've never seen it. It was crazy. This is a judgment call. This isn't like reversing a rule that happened, if that makes sense, right? This was a judgment call that they went back. Like Aaron Judge, I mean, Could they go back and give Aaron Judge a home run 3 innings later? No. I know that official scoring changes happen. They took away the guy's no-hitter 3 innings later. The home team scorer did it. And there's also, by the way, the controversy of Michael Kay naming the official scorer on the broadcast and how people said that was not right of him. And it was, you know, he put his name out there. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's like it's an official, right? Don't you know who the referees and umpires are? I guess. I don't know. But anyway, it was wild, Josh.
But with that, though, with that last part, like, I don't think we ever have gotten, like, when there's a change in a goal and an assist in the NHL, nobody's ever said, like, oh, this NHL person is real. Like, it just is. The NHL has said now Rasmus Dahlin's assist is actually a goal because no one touched it. Like, I don't think they've ever.
But who cares about that? That's because it doesn't matter. This mattered.
Well, right, that's true, but I do think that, like, it was a little, maybe a little out of line to name the guy, but at the same time, this guy now is going to have a lot of questions of, hey, did you make that call, or did someone else call you from the MLB and say, sure, hey, you have to change that? Because that's where I'm wondering is, did the MLB step in and say, hey, we actually looked at that, and we think it was a hit. It wasn't an error. You know, like, that's where I'm curious, is if he made the call, or if someone else did, or if it was, like, a group decision, like... Because if it was a group decision, I want to know the reasoning, you know? Like, especially because, like you said, it's a no-hitter. That's a big deal.
Do we ever know who actually called down in the Bills-Texans playoff game and told the official to overturn that kickoff thing? Remember that game?
Yeah.
The kickoff goes into the end zone, and they call the Bills touchdown because of a fumble, and then all of a sudden somebody comes out of the field and goes, no, you got that wrong. It's a touchback.
I remember me and my dad were both freaking out, and then all of a sudden we look at the screen and the score is gone and the Texans have the ball, and it's like, what happened? Why did this happen? That was one of the most infuriating moments in recent Bills history, in my opinion.
Listen, again,
officiating wise.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, again, I'll say again, I want to be clear on this. I'm fine with giving the guy a hit when it happens, and I'm fine with going back and changing scoring and giving him a hit if it's not a no-hitter. But if it's a no-hitter, you can't go back and do that, especially in your home ballpark. That's home cooking, and that is, as someone wrote, yes, I think it was Talkin' Jake from Talkin' Yankees wrote, it felt dirty. It just felt dirty, right? Come on, what are we doing? So that's what bothered me about it, but Yankees wound up getting the win. Obviously, that was cool. The other thing I tweeted yesterday was this. I said, Aaron Judge got the Josh Allen fourth down spot treatment on the ball, and I had people coming at me, oh, cry about it more. Oh, my God. We can't have fun anymore? Can't have fun? Let's have some fun. Let's get with Paul Hamilton. He's always fun. You can tweet me, by the way, at Sal Sports or see all that and get involved as well. And, of course, that is getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. NFL draft in 4 days. We'll have Fran Duffy at 11 a.m. Paul Hamilton on the way next after Sabres locker cleanout day and press conferences. The one press conference, I should say, joint press conference of Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff. Next on the way on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
When you take a look at some of their...
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, Shank Half or Whole, Bone In while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco Snack Crackers, Ritz Crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The videos from the trade deadline that they put out, it's very clear to me that Lindy Ruff has a very big voice in that organization. So the fact that it looks like he's coming back, it looks to me like Terry Pegula really believes in Lindy Ruff, and he seems secure. I think there's going to be changes in the front office of the Sabres. I'm curious to see how it's all going to work with Adams, but I do think at the very least, some of the staff around him will be out and he will change it. Does that mean Adams changes his title at all? I don't know. That front office will have some kind of a new look next year.
Okay, so that's Elliot Friedman on his 32 thoughts. Good stuff right there that we'll be digesting. And I'm sure that these decisions, any changes that are made, you know, it's not going to be too long. You have a lot of business you have to get to over the next little while here when it comes to the Sabres and the NHL. Paul Hamilton joins me right now on the Western Hotline. Sabres had their locker clean-out days on Friday and Saturday. Heard from players. Also heard a joint press conference with Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff. And Paul, Kevin was asked specifically about this report about what Elliot Friedman said. And his response was, I have not talked to Terry Pegula as of now. And that's fair. I totally get that. But just judging by the way he answered, judging by what he said, what sense do you get about any appetite for changing anything with Kevin Adams? And by the way, good morning and happy belated Easter.
Thank you. Happy Easter. And yeah, he also was asked, what assurances have you had that you will be the GM, you know, in the next year? And he said the same thing. He went back to that he still has meetings with Terry Pegula, and, you know, those will be coming up, I'm sure, fairly soon. I mean, he could be on his way down to South Florida right now to have those meetings. You don't want this thing to go too long before you've talked about. And there's just no way in the world they can just roll back everything, whether it's and I ask him the first question of the press conference, are there going to be changes in the hockey department or on the coaching staff? And he again said, you know, they haven't gotten that far yet, or, you know, he still has to talk to Lindy and Terry Pegula and those types of things. So, but there's really no way the fans have an appetite where you can just come back with everybody. And there's no changes whatsoever. I mean, you have regressed three straight seasons. How can you not change anything? You know, how can you come back with the same coaching staff? How can you come back with the same people in the hockey department? It's failing. So, I mean, that's the bottom line. It's failing. It's not working. Otherwise, you wouldn't be still one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League 5 years into your tenure. So, you know, they have to do something. There has to be some types of changes around there, whether it's, you know, Kevin Adams. You know, it's not going to be Lindy Ruff. I think we can be fairly rest assured, unless Lindy Ruff were to resign, and it doesn't sound like he's even close to that. So I don't think it's going to be that, but something has to be done as far as changing the pattern of what they're doing here.
Here's the quote from Kevin Adams. I'm certainly sure he'll be asking me, meaning Terry Pegula, a lot of hard questions about why we are where we are and where do we go from here. All right, so really it comes down to, and I agree with you, changes will be made, but it comes down to if Terry Pegula feels that Kevin Adams should retain the title of general manager. If he feels that is not the case, would you get the sense that it would simply be a shifting of Kevin Adams somewhere in the organization, or would it be completely starting over and he's out and we're bringing in an entirely new GM or maybe even president of hockey ops? I know that's never happened before, and we've talked about that, but how do you think, what range of possibilities do you think we have here, Paul?
Well, to me, Kevin Adams doesn't need another boss. If you don't think he's capable of doing his job and needs another boss, then fire him. Then he's not capable of doing his job. That's the way I look at it. I always feel your best hockey man should be your general manager, who answers to the owner. I don't think you need to add more bosses. If you don't think Kevin Adams is doing a good enough job, why are you moving him? You don't need him. I mean, move him to where? You don't move him in above the general manager. That, to me, is worse than what you've got going right now. I don't understand that option, quite honestly. I don't know why you would do that option unless you're just going to move him to be a scout because you got to pay him. You know, that would be the only thing I could figure out. But, you know, and with Terry Pegula, as you well know, we don't know. He changes his mind. I mean, to me, if after these meetings that Kevin Adams is no longer your general manager, then what have you been doing? Why did you let Kevin Adams change the core of your team at the trade deadline? Why did you let Kevin Adams sit with every single player and tell him what he needs to do to be better next year, you know, at these meetings with the players this past weekend? I don't understand. If that was your plan, why you would have let him do all these things. But he changes his mind. He changed his mind on Jason Botterill in less than a month after they told the media that he's staying, and he could change his mind on Kevin. Right now, he could be sitting there thinking, well, yeah, I'm going to keep Kevin Adams as the GM, and then Kevin Adams could get there, and he might have changed his mind by then. That's just the way he rolls. So, he's very inconsistent in his thinking. I think he thinks one thing one day and one thing the next, and sometimes it depends what day you catch him on, whether you're going to keep your job or not.
Paul's appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. You heard from players as well. I got to tell you, Paul, I mean, obviously, I'm not down there every day like I am in the Bills locker room, but man, Jason Zucker is great to listen to. Mm-hmm. I could listen to him talk all day. He was really, really good. And you've obviously had a front row seat to that all year, but just on Zucker and some of the comments he made about where this team is and how, what I thought was very interesting was, hey, he spoke from a perspective of, I know how you guys in the media see things, but here's how it seems from inside the locker room and where we are and what we need to do.
Yeah. The only thing, being a veteran of the NHL for so long, how he basically said to the media, well, I know you guys are fans too. And I'm like, what? Excuse me?
Well, you're a fan of hockey.
I'm a fan of hockey, but I'm there to cover a hockey team. I'm not, that was the only thing that kind of surprised me, that a guy who's been in the league that long would say something like that. But other than that, yeah, he, as he said, you know, hope is not a strategy. You know, and he said it differently than I just did, but, we have rules on the air.
Yeah.
And
I think we bleeped it out when we played the sound. And, there you go.
But he's right. It's not. And you can't, like the goaltending. To me, if you bring back Lukanen and Levi, it could work fantastically. They both could be great next year. But you're hoping. And I just don't think I don't know what they're going to do with their goaltending, because I agree. Hope is not a strategy. And hoping the two young goaltenders, at one or both, are going to, take the bull by the horns, I think is very dangerous when you're trying to make the playoffs. He's been excellent for Jiří Kulík. I get to see the two of them interact in the locker room, which sometimes is hilarious. But, watching when they were on the same line, every time they came off the ice, Jason Zucker was talking to him. Every time. Kulík told Kevin Adams that he's the best guy he's ever met. He's the guy that really has helped him, come into the NHL and be comfortable and, what to do and those types of things. And you need that in the locker room. And that's the thing. I want to stress, not everything Kevin Adams has done has been bad. And, signing Zucker, I think, was a great move. At the time, I just kind of shrugged my shoulders, go, yeah, whatever. And then it turned to be a lot more than, yeah, whatever. The trade for McLeod, I think, was an excellent trade. So it's not like everything he has done has been bad, but he just hasn't been able to finish the job. But Zucker, I think, was an excellent move, and I think it was an excellent move to get him signed up for 2 more years.
Speaking of McLeod, anything that you took away from what Adam said about their pending free agents, including Ryan McLeod, Jack Quinn, J.J. Paterka, Bo Byram, and Devin Levi?
No, he was being very vague. The only one he talked about is, who's not a free agent yet, is Alex Tuch, that he is a priority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can
They can talk July 1st, right? I'm sorry,
correct.
Go ahead, you had that. Go
yeah,
ahead.
They
yes.
can start negotiating with him July 1st. And even if they come to a contract extension, that would not kick in until next year. This year, he is still under contract under the old deal. And then whatever the cap amount would be for next year at age 30 is, what would kick in then. So he has 1 more year of a very, very reasonable contract, a very team-friendly contract. And then, Adams did say he's a priority. I asked him specifically about Byram, and he said, we need to sit down with Bo and his agent and go over things. And he was about as cryptic about it as Bo Byram was. So Bo Byram finally said yes, he likes it here and would be open to a long-term deal. He finally got there when he did his interview. So, you know, he didn't say that's what he absolutely wants, but he said he's open to it and he's enjoyed his time here. So we'll see, again, where that goes. As far as, you know, a guy like Jack Quinn or Devin Levi, I think basically we're talking about here's your qualifying offer, take it, let's move on with that. I don't think either one of them should be in line for long-term contracts right now. J.J. Paterka, of course, has had a 28 and a 27 goal season back-to-back. He's better in his own zone as an overall player, you know, and I think that might be a question. Kevin Adams might go to Lindy Ruff and say, how do you see J.J. Paterka? Do you see him as a long-term solution? Do you see him as a winning hockey player? Do you see him as a piece that should be part of the pieces to become a winning hockey team? So, you know, that would be something that maybe he and Lindy Ruff would talk about, you know, as far as, you know, where J.J. Paterka is at and where they feel his trajectory will go as a hockey player. McLeod, I think, did an excellent job as a two-way hockey player. His upside came to be, at which they hoped it would be, on the offensive side, a 20-goal scorer this year. So I think he has become an important part of this team. He can win faceoffs for you and does, a good penalty killer. And I think he's just what they thought they were getting and maybe even a little bit more.
Anything we learned about injuries to Owen Power, Josh Norris, or anyone else?
Well, they, you know, Owen Power talked, and he seemed rather relieved that he's not going to have surgery. He's in about 2 months' worth of rehab, so he was pretty happy about that. He said, I know it looked like maybe the ankle got hurt too. If you watch the replay, he goes, it did not. The ankle's fine. And, you know, even when he walked in with the crutches, he didn't walk in like you normally would with crutches. He almost was using them for balance, so that's it. You know, he was still kind of walking on the knee. So it's unfortunate because, you know, I think, you know, he needed a full off season in the gym and to make him there. But he did say, look, I can still work on my upper body, he said, while he's rehabbing. So he said there are things he can still do in his off-ice training program because he said that's what Lindy Ruff told him. You know, he needs to get stronger, you know, and that's the thing they've been working on with him. And he understands what he needs to be a better hockey player. But some of that he can still do even though he's going to be involved in knee rehab.
And then finally, Paul, just your thoughts around the league. Rangers fire Peter Laviolette and former Sabres player and coach Phil Housley as well. Very disappointing season, obviously, for the Rangers. Chris Drury appears, though, is keeping his job.
Yeah, Peter Laviolette, you know, it seems to just wear out his welcome. Somebody has said to me, should they let Ruff go and bring him in here? And he might produce a playoff team right away. That's kind of what he does. And maybe there's nothing wrong with that. But he wears out his welcome before, you know, he did win one Stanley Cup, but before he can get the job done. And so, no, it didn't surprise me at all. Somebody, you know, said to me, you know, well, look at, you know, Sabres get Kevin Adams, but, you know, Rangers get Chris Drury and the Flyers get Daniel Briere. And I'm scratching my head going, yeah, they did. But, guys, Chris Drury and Daniel Briere right now are not having real good success either. You know, let's not sit there and anoint them into the General Manager's Hall of Fame. Well, there isn't that, but I'm just making it up, before, you know, they even do anything. So, you know, it's going to be a tough ride for them. And I'm sure Chris Drury is on the hot seat too, just like Kevin Adams is you know, turn that operation around with the New York Rangers. Cause they went from a very good team, a contender, right down to one of the bottom feeders in one season.
Paul Hamilton here on the Wester Hotline. We haven't touched playoffs at all, but I'll ask you, do you have a favorite you like out of the East or the West, you know, to get there to do it?
Well, you know, you don't want to disrespect the Florida Panthers. They are the defending champions, and, you know, they have a very tough matchup with Tampa Bay going in. You know, I know what Toronto has done over the years in the playoffs, but Stolarz, if Stolarz plays the way he is capable of playing. Toronto's now a contender. That's been their problem the whole time. They never could get decent goaltending. I missed this the other day. Mike Harrington said it, that Stolarz has three consecutive shutouts in Buffalo with three different teams. I didn't realize that when he shut the Sabres out with Toronto.
Wow.
That his last three games in Buffalo were shutouts, and they were with three different teams, with Toronto, Florida, and Anaheim. So, and look at what Toronto did to address their goaltending. Look at the career numbers for Stolarz. They're very good. So they went out and got him for $5 million for 2 years, over $5 million over 2 years. You know, so they're paying him like $2.5 million a season, and look at the season he's had for them, and he possibly, if he continues having that kind of season, could win them a Stanley Cup. That's how they went out and addressed things. You know, they looked and said, you know, this guy's been a really good goalie along the way. He just hasn't been able to find a home. Let's see if he'll come here and give him a home. Well, maybe Kevin Adams should have thought about that too, you know, giving him a home. And, again, that's inexperience. As you know, it's like, well, we got our guys. We've been developing Devin Levi and Lukanen, so we're really not going to look elsewhere. And I've asked him now, you know, from a comfort standpoint, I asked both men, from a comfort standpoint, you have to win next year. Can you be comfortable? I understand that Devin Levi is an AHL All-Star. I understand that last year, you know, the year before this past one that we just played, that Lukanen had some of the best numbers in the National Hockey League. I get it. But can you be comfortable in a season where you have to win, having those two youngsters come in and be your goaltenders? And they both said they, you know, they could be. You know, Lindy stood up for Lukanen saying, we don't play well enough in front of him. He goes, I believe in him. And Adam said if that were the case, that the two of them, he'd be very comfortable with them being the goaltender. I would not be. That could turn out very, very well. Both guys could come out and find their way and be great goaltenders. But if I'm in a situation like they are where they have to win, there's no way I would be comfortable coming into the season with those two as the goaltenders. Although Adams did say if he sees an opportunity to upgrade the position, he would do it.
Got to run, Paul. Way late. Thanks for today. We'll catch up soon.
No problem. Take care.
All right, you got it. Paul Hamilton right there. We'll take a timeout. We'll come right back here. We'll wrap up this segment. We'll get to Fran Duffy in the 11 a.m. hour on the NFL Draft.